Oh, hi there. My name is Bonnie Lippincott, mom of two. During the transformation into motherhood, I learned I needed to trust my intuition, forgive myself, and know that I'm growing alongside my children. The title, Entry-Level Mom, is meant to highlight the obvious. We have no formal training, but everything we need is already within our DNA. This podcast is connected to my book, Entry-Level Mom, and the goal is to share honest and vulnerable stories with friends to encourage each other. I hope you enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by Susie and Vicky, who are mothers, grandmothers, and identical twins. They share their unique insight growing up as best friends and identical twins, and still share a beautiful friendship to this day. Twins run in their family, which all started with their great-great-grandfather, who was a twin. His twin brother and him married a set of twins. Susie and Vicky share their lessons, like never say never and things are never what they seem. And they share the wise words of never comparing yourself to others, which is so hard in this day and age with social media. Susie and Vicky have kind souls, and I hope you enjoy listening to this sweet episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Today's topic is twins in the family. I am joined by Susie and Vicky. They are both moms and grandmothers, and they are beautiful inside and out, and they are identical twins. Thank you for coming on and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we discuss twins, my first topic is, how were your pregnancies and deliveries?
Mine were fairly easy. I had a boy first, and it was in labor only like 3 hours. My daughter came 20 months later, and she was only in labor for about an hour and a half. So mine were very easy. And well, when you're going through it, it's not easy, but as time periods go, it was very short.
That's wonderful. That was a really fast delivery for you, too.
Yes, it was. It was.
It's kind of back-to-back, 20 months.
20 months apart.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. You're efficient, Susie.
Yeah, I try to be.
Now, mine's very different. I had a girl first, naturally, no epidurals or anything, and it was 12 hours long. I was in the hospital in a bed. They didn't let you walk back then. This is 45 years ago. So quite different nowadays. I had her naturally. Everything went well. She was great. And 2.5 years later, I had another daughter who was born cesarean only because in between my two pregnancies, I had a fibroid tumor removed from my uterus. So when they removed that, they had to go in and C-section. So when I got pregnant, they had to do another C-section. And that was great. I would recommend that to everybody compared to the natural birth. That's what I have to say. And I was always so jealous of my sister who popped them out really fast. So
yeah, 3 hours.
I know.
Like an hour and a half. That's amazing. But neither of you have had the epidural, nor were you like offered it. I mean, you asked for it.
I asked for it and they told me it was too late in the, in my process of, you know, I dilated too much or something and that it was just, so that wasn't an option at that time. It was an option, but apparently I asked for it too late. So.
Gotcha. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. And you're identical twins, but you did not have twins.
No.
But our daughters, my sister has two daughters. I have one daughter and all three of them have had twins.
So it kind of skipped a generation,
yes,
so to speak.
Right. And our grandfather, our great, great grandfather, a twin married a twin. And so that's where the lineage comes from, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. A twin married a twin. My gosh. Cool. So what was it like having a twin sister? Did you ever used to play a prank or pretend to be each other? And
well, I think, you know, we're each other's best friend and we always have been. And everybody says, oh, didn't you fight and stuff? And I'm sure we had our little clashes, but we've never had any big, big fights, never not talked to each other. She's always been in my life, and we think very much the same. And we're kind of the same personality and we just get along really well.
Yeah. And people say we have the same mannerisms. Our voices are the same, but that's a
trait of identical twins.
Their voices are the same. Their eye colors are the same and their hair is the same. But, you know, it can't be totally identical, I guess. I mean, everything. Yeah. Our DNA is the same.
Yeah.
Right. Except your fingerprints, right?
That's they're right. Altered. Yeah. Yeah. Just by living, different things we do with our hands. So for me, you know, people always ask, how is it to be a twin? I don't know how it is to not be one.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see single siblings, you know, and I don't know.
And our single siblings.
Yeah. Both of our kids, our sets of kids, are so totally different from each other. Mm-hmm. So totally. And, you know, for Vicky and I, it's very, different because we're like, you know, they clash and they all this and
don't like each other.
And, you know, that just never happened to us. But so that was a parenting skill. Mm-hmm. For me that I had to learn that they were different. And I thought, well, I just do the same thing. And, you know, my mother did, and they'd be real nice kids. And, you know, and it didn't work with one of them and the other one it did. And, you know, you just have to learn different parents. All we knew was my mother, how mm-hmm. she treated us, you know, together. We always had the same thing, same clothes, same school, same class. So for my kids, learning about how different they were, was an eye opener.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's interesting about learning. Lots of one of my mentors said to me when I first got pregnant, all of the hard-earned lessons that you learn with the first one won't apply to the second one, and they won't apply to the third one. Yeah. Your style of parenting must be so different. But even though it sounds like the way your mother parented you was kind of uniform and like the same clothes, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm.
But we had, you know, the same interests. Like my daughter has fraternal girls, and they're so different, and they not so much like they like each other, but they like different things. One's more outgoing, one's more quiet, and all of that. So she has to be different with them. With Vicky and I, We just always liked the same things and had the same friends. And well, my daughter has identical boys and they're very much friends, mm-hmm. in tune. They only play with each other, which can be a problem. It's not a problem at school, but their teacher says they're six and that, you know, they just like playing with each other, you know, and they have friends and stuff, but that's all they know, I think. And so, it's interesting. So the teacher said maybe, you know, she should separate them at different classrooms next year. So they're still debating that, you know, but my mother always kept us together in the same class because she felt that she could compare us and not the teacher. Like if we had different teachers and one was getting something and the other one wasn't, was it the teacher's style or, you know, so she always felt she could compare one teacher to how we were doing. We were both getting the same info, but.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I would think the same way as your mother. Mm-hmm. Like I have, there's so many factors I cannot control. If it's the one teacher, I can control that factor. If that makes sense.
So I told my daughter that. And so they're considering it. You know, they want to do what the teacher says, but then her husband says, no, I want to keep them together. So anyway, they're crazy wild boys.
Us boys are. Huh? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know.
My son was crazy. He used to try to jump off of the couch, you know, like sternum first. I'm like, don't you will to survive?
I don't know when fear comes in. It hasn't come in yet.
Yeah, really.
But that's really interesting. And then of course it makes sense that you always got along to me because as someone outside of your twin sisterhood, you both have hearts of gold. So that's really, really special that you were so in tune and the same interests too. That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Yeah. But she went into teaching and I didn't. So, you know, I mean, as we got older, we sort of had different interests, but always knew what each other was doing, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is your connection like with each other? Like, do you have a sense, a feeling or a sense of how the other one's feeling? Any unique insights from being a twin sibling?
Well, I don't know. I think other siblings can have, you know, ties together, but definitely, you know, if I call her or even just see her at the first glimpse, I know
whether, you know, she's having a hard time or she's in a good mood or something bad happened, you know, whatever. I just, by the tone of her voice or just looking at how her face is right away, I can tell, you know, her mood.
And if we're in a conversation with a lot of other people and things are being said, you know, the conversation's going, I can tell what she's going to say.
How she will respond.
How she will respond. Yeah. Yeah. I can just tell.
Yeah.
But I think if you live with somebody long enough, that happens. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. They say, I have a fun fact. So I prepared some fun facts, but they say when in the University of Padova in Italy, they studied 3D ultrasounds and of 5 sets of twins in the womb. And when the fetuses were just 14 weeks old, they were reaching for each other in the womb.
Yeah.
You guys have been best friends for a lot longer than you've been.
Yes.
You know, out of the womb, I should say.
Right.
And at 18 weeks, they were stroking each other on their heads and about 30% of the time.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, that is interesting.
The fetuses seem to be extra gentle when touching around their siblings' eyes. Like they seem to even know his name.
Wow.
Really interesting.
That's cool.
That is cool.
You know, back, you know, when we were born, you know, almost 70 years ago, they didn't, you know, my mother had no ultrasounds or anything that. So there was nothing, you know, for them to.
We were born cesarean because our heartbeat started to get slower. So the doctor took a cesarean. Mm-hmm. That's why we're only 1 minute apart because.
Yeah.
She didn't go through labor. So, but yeah, you know, and people say, well, you know, we're so close. I've never, you know, I always say I've never been alone, even in the womb, you know, I had somebody there. So it, being alone for me is hard.
Yeah, me too.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I don't thrive well.
I like it, you know, for my me time. And then when that's over, it's like, oh, I need somebody, you know, to talk to or just be around. It's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
I can relate to that, but I don't have a reason.
You just want to be a little kid. Well, after you have kids, that's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true.
And then what has motherhood taught you? Or grandmotherhood, I should say. Either or.
Well, my motherhood has taught me, you know, never say never. And also things aren't always what they seem.
That's good.
I love that. Never say never. And then things aren't always what they seem. Like stay curious about it.
Well, and my whole thing was, you know, why I said that is, you know, I would look at other mothers and think, oh, they've got it all together. And, oh, they've got the perfect family. They must know what they're doing. And then, you know, later on down the line, you found out, wow, they were more messed up than me, you know. So, you know, it was funny. And I used to compare myself and I just learned not to do that anymore because you find out things and you're just shocked.
Yeah, you never know what goes on
inside someone's behind closed doors.
And you don't walk in their shoes, so you don't know how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and the thing never say never is with my kids, you know, well, because I'd see other kids acting up in the store or something, thinking, oh, my kid will never do that. Well, yeah, they did. So but, you know, never say never, you know. So yeah.
That's really wise. I remember I once watched a mom lift up her child and carry them out of the store. And I thought that didn't look very comfortable for that kicking and screaming. Poor child.
I know.
I did that.
Yeah.
I carried the next out of the store, surfboard style.
So very true.
And you never know what leads up to that. Like, you know, you can think, well, he wasn't doing anything that bad. Well, all day he's been, you know, breaking things. And, you know, it's just the culmination of it all.
Precisely. It was a lead up, build up.
Sure.
You don't know what the past 6 hours were.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
And for me, what motherhood has taught me, grandmotherhood has taught me patience, but it's so much easier to have patience with your grandchildren because you think it's cute and funny. And when you're young, you just want them to behave and mind and don't do stupid things. But as a grandmother, it's,
you don't take things so seriously.
I don't let them get away with a bunch of stuff, but it's not that big a deal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why does it feel like such a big deal as a mom?
As a mom, because I think you're thinking you have to you do, you have to shape them and give them, you know, the things they need to learn and all that. But it's more of a job. Like, I have to succeed at mm-hmm. this and do this right, or they're going to be, you know, do something bad. So I guess that's it. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have to worry about my kids. I could just, my grandkids, I can just go, oh, okay, go home now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that makes sense. You are, because with your grandkids, you're not in quote in charge anymore mm-hmm. and you can just enjoy it. Yeah. But being a parent is just a totally consuming job. You're in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in charge of everything. Yes. All the time. Well, I have to make all of the decisions, whether it's what to eat for breakfast or where to go to school and what the curriculum, you know, mm-hmm. like if I can volunteer in the classroom or how much I should be working away right. from the kids or
right.
what time to go to bed, what yes. shows to watch.
All that.
A lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what you got to go grocery shopping and mm-hmm. pick all that stuff out and then prepare it. And, you know, so much to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I look back and I think, well, I watch my daughter and I'm just like, wow, you know, she runs circles around me. And I'm thinking, well, I guess I used to do that, but you know, you don't have to. I don't have to anymore. That was hard. And then you throw marriage in there and it's a real hectic thing, you know, trying to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Maintaining all the relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. But I love that you said never say never and things are never what they seem. And then just patience, mm-hmm. just learning patience. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
Just perspective is healthy sometimes.
Yes.
I can get worked up over things. And even the things I get worked up over, it's not that big of a deal. But I've had chicken nuggets three nights in a row.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. But that's what I mean about like, you have to do everything, you know, right. Yeah. No, it's, there's no manual on it.
Yes. That's for sure.
What would you tell your younger self?
What did I say? Let's think. I got married very young. Well, I was 22. I really believe that was, for me, way too young to get married. Although I think I was a mature person. I had a good job and I'd gone to school and everything, but just take your time to find your right partner. And it kind of goes along with like having children. You know, you want to do your best and you think you have to have it now and all of that. And, you know, just wait,
live life.
Yes.
First.
And, you know, I'd been to Europe. I'd been to the Orient. I'd been here. I'd been there. But still 22, you're still growing. You know, you're still need some more experience as being a person before you start having to load on everything else. So that's just me. That's mm-hmm. what I would say.
Me too. I got married when I was 20. Too young. You know, you do grow different as you get older and you learn more about the world and you learn more about people when you get out in the world. You start working. And so give yourself time for both marriage mm-hmm. and children.
Children, yeah.
That's really wise advice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. I remember in the third grade, I drew a timeline. They had us draw a timeline. Mm-hmm. And I said I was going to get married at 18. Yes. And my dad was like, Bonnie promised me at 25 minimum. And so I scratched it out and I wrote 25. And I got married at 26.
Right.
But I promise. But no, it's not an age thing. It's just like making sure you've grown and you are ready. Mm-hmm. I think that's really why.
Right.
Because,
right.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for coming on today to discuss
this. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Thanks for listening. I believe by speaking honestly around all topics surrounding motherhood, it sheds light and love to them and is useful to parents. We are all in this together. Books by Bonnie Lippincott has links to my social media pages, and it's where you can buy a copy of Entry Level Mom Book or any of my other books. As always, please remember to be kind to yourself.